Good morning. Today is Wednesday, April 28th, 2010. It's 9:30 a.m. and the Portland City Council will come to order. Good morning, Carla.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
What do you think of all this rain?
I love it.
Do you?
No.
Oh, glutton for punishment. Could you please call the roll?
Yes. Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Quorum is present. We'll proceed with the communications. Can you please read the title for item number 562?
Request of Bert Ruvensky to address council regarding the Gladstone Street traffic diversion and bicycle boulevard project.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council. We're glad you're here. You just need to give your, go ahead and have a seat. You just need to give your first and last name. You'll have 3 minutes, and that clock right in front of you will count down for 3 minutes.
I was wondering if possible I could wait till the fourth other commissioner could show up before I spoke, while I could talk to all four of you.
He's sick, and I don't know whether
this is your opportunity.
This is it. Okay, fine.
We'll listen extra
don't hurt
hard.
To ask.
Yeah.
That's right.
My name is Bert Ruvensky. I live in the Crescent Kenilworth neighborhood. I'm here to talk about the Gladstone Bike Boulevard and Diversion Project, which is a proposal by the city to actually block the traffic, auto traffic from entering east on Southeast Gladstone Street from 42nd. This design notice, which you have in front of you, was mailed out to us earlier this year. I'd like to notice the first section that is highlighted. It says it conducted two meetings last summer and an update to the Foster Pell neighborhood. The problem with this is that, of course, the bike boulevard is not located in the Foster Pell neighborhood. It's located in the Crescent Kenilworth neighborhood. And this notice was not sent out until after the Bureau of Transportation had made all their final decisions and authorizations. Also, at the bottom, where it's highlighted, it says engineers do not foresee additional traffic on neighboring streets, but they are proposing additional stop signs on the uncontrolled intersections. Well, nobody who's got this believes that, and we don't believe that the Bureau of Transportation believes that. It is going to increase traffic on the other streets. I arranged a meeting of neighbors to meet at the Crescent Kenilworth Neighborhood Association with the project manager for this project. And at the meeting, he told everybody that it was a done deal, that it was going in. Well, that is how much input the city has gotten from the neighborhood about this project before they decided to go ahead with it. A number of neighbors state they never received a design notice. The Bureau has refused residents' requests for stop signs for years, telling them that there's not enough accidents on these streets. Now they not only deny that traffic will increase on adjacent streets to the Bike Boulevard, but they are installing a very stop sign that they told residents for years weren't necessary. Traffic has increased on other streets since speed bumps were installed on Gladstone 8 years ago, so blocking Gladstone completely is going to increase traffic on those other streets. The Bureau does not know how much traffic on Gladstone Street is cut-through traffic and how much is for local access. There is a school there. There is a lot of north-south bicycle traffic, hardly any east-west traffic, and at the bottom of page 2 is a summary of a bicycle traffic count that was made, which showed that there's hardly any demand at all for a bike boulevard. The Bureau will not consider any other alternatives to decrease traffic and speed on Gladstone and other streets. We feel that this project needs to be stopped, and the concerns of the neighbors need to be taken in before they continue with this.
Well, you did a great job of presenting the concerns. I appreciate that. Jenny, you'd raise your hand if you'd look back there. If you meet with Jenny Peckinpah, who's my public advocate for transportation issues, and we'll see what we can do to get more effective conferencing with the neighborhood and the business association.
Okay. Well, the only thing that will satisfy the neighbors now is to stop the project first and then talk to them, not just put it in and then say, well, how do you like it and sort of thing.
Well, people are free to choose whatever path they want. I would talk to Jenny today for sure, and I'll follow up with her Okay. I think conversation is important in order for me to determine the veracity and their side of the story as well. So please talk to Jenny today, and we'll okay. try to meet your concerns.
All right.
Thanks for your testimony. Bring it to our attention. Can you please read the title for Council Communications item number 563?
Request of James Lopez to address Council regarding lawlessness in Portland.
Good morning, Mr. Lopez.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. It's actually Lopes.
Lopes. Sorry. And it's even right. spelled correctly down here. Lopes. Yeah. Good morning, Mr. Lopes.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having me, first of all.
Okay.
I have a little sheet that I'd like to leave with you with my number, because this is kind of a question I have in concern. Okay, my name's James Lopes. I love Portland, Oregon, and our great country, home of the free and the brave. I've lived here around 15 years after my dad's retirement here. I started a family here. I learned how to start a business here. I sit before you today because of some very hard times I've had to experience for the last 4.5 years. Or so. At first, I figured they were all separate destructive natural occurrences. A year or more ago, I had an awakening I can only explain from God that many or all of these destructive things brought upon my life were connected. You hear on the news about terrorism, we protect ourselves from out of the United States, but I believe there has been a terror following me on our own soil. Some of the injustices over these years, I put together some criminal impersonations, stalking, intimidations, custodial interference, theft, robbery, assault, theft by extortion. Yeah. In my search for truth, because of the lack of help from the regular authorities, I'm led to believe our very system may be involved, therefore easy to trace by my name and social security number, which I put on the list here. And the only place I have felt safe is in my car. Please help me acquire the truth of this question. If it is a part of our very system, I need to know what for and how I can find true freedom.
Mr. Lopes, this is Ina right here.
Okay.
And if you wouldn't mind, my office is just upstairs, and she'll introduce you to Amy Stevens, who's an advocate in my office, and I'd like to see what we can do for you.
Okay.
Great. Thanks Sounds for great. Being here. Appreciate it.
Who do I leave this with?
Carla, please.
Okay. I'll
make sure I get it. Carla, can you please read the title for item number 564?
Request of Mike O'Callaghan to address Council regarding shelterlessness.
Mr. O'Callaghan, welcome back. O'Callaghan, sorry.
Yeah, I'd like to first reference a letter to Mike Mills that I have wrote December 4th. It's included in your package right here. But that's not my issue today. Hello, my name is Michael O'Callaghan. I am a criminal. By city law, I can't sleep. I can't camp. I can't do body discharge. Can't drink alcohol. Can't erect a structure. You make me a criminal. I'm 100% vulnerable to police enforcing lawful action. It's unfortunate you choose to make people criminal because of economic status. All people should have access to being warm, dry, and secure. From my perspective, and I haven't addressed the council for probably 3 months, no one on this council has done anything in the past year to allow those without lawful shelter to have it. Homeless population has gone up 36% in all the major cities that keep track. To be warm, dry, and secure in that environment means criminal behavior. it is impossible for the homeless to obey the law. And I laugh at your efforts to pass another law to make us criminal. Thank you. The question with no answer is, where do you go? The only answer is away. Go away. Go away. Okay? That's impossible for this subgroup. 3 days without sleep, one certifiably insane. And how can those choosing to recover from addictive behavior do so when they have no shelter? So, on to solutions. Zoned camping ordinance. Fenced self-governing community of no more than 50. Create a prototype, then duplicate. Parking garages. O'Brien closes at 7 o'clock p.m., opens at 6:30. Be in at 7, be out before 6:30. Nice and clean, self-governing. Mobile sleeping units like the ones I've designed, which are legal, get private funds, flood the streets with them. A vacancy tax, this will probably appeal to all of you, okay? Double the property tax on unoccupied buildings for longer than a year, proceeds going to housing, shelters, and programs. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for your testimony. Appreciate it. So, Carla, we have, in looking at the consent agenda, we have two items that have been pulled. I understand 566 and 567.
Yes.
Do you know what the purpose of the poll was? I know I've got a Scribner's error on one.
Let's see. One of them, the our 567, I know, is supposed to be with Metro instead of PSU. And I'm not sure what 566 was.
Who pulled it?
The Bureau did. Planning and Sustainability.
All right. Well, let's send 566 back to my office. And before we vote on it, Ben, I'd like to correct the Scribner's error in the boilerplate that references Metro when it should say PSU, the bottom of the first page of the ordinance.
The IGA is also PSU on it.
We're okay to do that, Ben?
So the motion that would need to occur would be to substitute...
it's just a Scribner's error.
A Scribner's error?
Substitute all PSU with
then,
Metro?
Then it would just be a directive to the auditor's office to make that substitution throughout the ordinance as well as the IGA.
All right. As a Scribner's error?
As a Scribner's error.
Can you please make that correction?
Should I read the title first? Yeah. All right, we want to take this after the rest of consent?
I was hoping to do it all together.
Okay. Well, we have to pull it to amend it.
If it's being discussed separately from the consent agenda, then it would need to be
all right, addressed separately. I will pull 567. Any other items beyond 566, 567 that need our attention? Can you please call the roll in the consent agenda?
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Approved. Can you please read the title for 567?
Authorize a 3-year intergovernmental agreement with Portland State University in the amount of $127,500 to implement Portland's public event recycling program.
With the Scribner's correction requested and noted for the record, can you please call the vote on 567?
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman. Leonard.
Right.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for regular agenda, item number 593?
Amend the City of Portland Health Plan to reflect necessary plan, administrative, and design changes as recommended by the Labor Management Benefits Committee for the self-insured plans beginning July 1, 2010.
And can you also read item number 594?
Amend contract administered by the Bureau of Human Resources, Benefits and Wellness Office, and with Benefit Help Solutions for flexible spending account Administration, effective July 1, 2009 through June 30, 2014.
Good morning, Ms. Bless. How are you?
Good morning.
What are we looking at here?
As part of the upcoming annual enrollment process, the ordinance before you establishes the 2010-11 City of Portland Health Plan. The plan document identifies the provisions and the plan design of the city's self-insured health plans. The document includes the city core benefit plan design changes recommended by the Labor Management Benefits Committee, effective for July 1, 2010. The LMBC is a dedicated group of labor leaders and management who meet monthly to discuss costs of health care, upcoming trends, and discuss plan design options in a thoughtful and proactive manner. The most substantial changes will be in the improved access to health care. Improvements have been made to the free wellness exams, providing all participants an exam annually. Instead of requiring a deductible and coinsurance for office visits for or urgent care center services when a participant needs to go to the doctor, the plan will now charge a $15 flat copay at the time of the service is provided, and nothing more will need to be paid by the member, and no deductible or further coinsurance will be required by the participant. There is a modest increase to the deductible, but the deductible will now only come into play for the services such as outpatient or inpatient hospital services and some ancillary type services such as physical therapy. Support for the treatment of obesity has been added to the plan, including a $15,000 lifetime benefit for treatments related to surgical interventions, a $500 annual benefit for hospital-based weight loss services and nutritional counseling for participants with a BMI of over 26. The committee also recommends adjusting two benefit options capped through lifetime maximums. Sleep apnea benefits would be capped at a lifetime maximum of $5,000, and the current lifetime maximum for hospice care has been adjusted upward to ensure it meets the needs of those at the end of their lives. The changes recommended by the LMBC add no additional cost to the plan increase for July 1, and the changes support the health benchmarks within the newly approved Wellness Strategic Plan. The changes will support and assist employees and their family members, as well as current retiree participants in accessing care and working to lower risk factors relative to maintaining good health. Lastly, and in addition to the plan changes, updated and applicable language has been inserted in the plan document that will allow for plan design and or eligibility rules as required by the Health Care and Education and Affordability Reconciliation Act of 2010 as those changes become effective for our groups. Do you have any questions?
Questions, discussion from council? Do you want to, did you speak to both of those?
I did not. The second amendment is simply a correction of the original contract. We greatly understated the amount of money that employees put in their pre-tax deductions for MERP and DCAP, and this is a correction on that.
Great. All right, unless there's discussion from council, is there anyone that wishes to testify in items 593 or 594?
We have two people who signed up, Gordon Jones and Angela M. Jones.
Are the Joneses in the room?
Sorry, wrong item.
Oh.
No, nobody signed up.
All right. These are emergency ordinances, so would you please call the vote?
This is 593? 593,
thanks.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, I'm very impressed with the Labor Management Benefits Committee, and co-chair Mark Bellow is with us today, and also thanks to Kathy Bless, who's done really remarkable work with this whole program. I want to emphasize again that this is using taxpayers' money wisely to provide benefits for city employees in their health care, and it encourages employees to go to the doctor early or their licensed medical practitioner early so that they get care. And the other part of it is that the increase in deductibles and implementing a copay system saves the plan about 2%, which is what is being used to add the additional benefits for weight loss and other wellness benchmarks that we covered in the strategic document last week. So it's an totally a win-win that it saves money for the taxpayers and also encourages employees to go to the doctor and other licensed medical practitioners.
Adams.
Adams. Did everyone else vote?
Yes.
Okay. Aye. Losing my mind. 594, please call the vote.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye.
Mayor, we need to revisit 567. That was the PSU, now Metro contract. That's a non-emergency ordinance, so we should not have voted on it.
But it was on the consent agenda.
We pulled it, but we don't vote on it. Would have passed to a second reading back on the consent next week.
Oh, okay. Then we take back our vote, and what?
It will be continued to next week on the consent agenda and adopted then as a non-emergency.
Thanks for catching that. Can you please read the item for procurement report, item number 595?
Accept bid of PNC Construction Company for $4,300,500 for construction of the Union Station Facility Improvements Phase 2 American Recovery and Reinvestment Act Project.
Good morning, Ms. Moody. How are you?
Good morning. Very good. Thank you. Christine Moody, Procurement Services. In front of you is a procurement report recommending a contract award to the low bidder in the amount of $4,300,500 for Phase 2 Union Station Facility Improvements Project. This project is being funded by grants provided by the Federal American Recovery and Reinvestment Act through an ODOT Transportation Enhancement Program in the amount of $2,609,000. $400,000 will be provided by the city's Facility Services Fund, and PDC has committed to cover the remaining costs. The city's Good Faith Efforts Program does not apply to this project, as ODOT requires contractors to comply with the federal DBE program. The DBE goal for this project was 3%. And none of the bids submitted met the 3% goal. The MWSB aspirational targets were not included in this project. The low bid was reviewed by ODOT and found to be responsive. Marina Cresswell is here in the project manager, and she can answer any technical questions about the project.
Could you just summarize what are we doing to Union Station with this particular phase?
Yes. Marina Cresswell, Facility Services. We are going to be replacing most of the metal roof on the building and some sections of membrane roof. We will also be adding some seismic improvements in select areas and repairing windows and doors and exterior surfaces on the majority of the building.
All right, any discussion from council? Anyone wish to testify on item 595? I'll entertain a motion to accept
the moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote?
Fish.
Thank you for your good work. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you for Marina for giving more information to my staff about the minority women small businesses, and it does sound like it was a great outreach effort, including advertising in the Scanner and the Asian Reporter, so thank you for trying. Aye.
Adams.
This is great. I'm always a little nervous when we embark on peeling back any part of Union Station, because as I've come to learn over the years, we do our best. We send people through every tiny crawl space. And then as we actually disassemble pieces of it, we find it was held up by goodwill and hope. So thank you for your work on this. It's an important building, and we just keep chipping away at it. Aye. Can you please read the title and call the vote, second reading, item number 596.
Amend the business license law to eliminate the exemption for residential solid waste, recycling, and yard debris haulers, and make other housekeeping changes.
Please call the vote.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
We have a fantastic team heading up our Bureau of Revenue, and they've been working extra hard so that that I will have a number and the council will have a number to update our financial forecast in terms of revenue. So I know you've been working around the clock, Terry and team, and thank you. I appreciate it. Aye. All right, we'll take a 5-minute break.